Please be seated. Get out. Go. This is what God said to Abraham when he was still dwelling in Haran. It's what the angels said to Lot just before Sodom and Gomorrah were reduced to ash. It's what God said to his people when his 10th plague fell on Pharaoh. And now it's what God is saying to this generation of his people, kidnapped by Babylon. Get out. Go. It should have been a no-brainer. But staying in Babylon did have certain benefits. Archaeology has shown that though the Hebrew people were exiles and captives in Babylon, blending in brought them stunning financial success. What began as a completely uncomfortable arrangement soon became not only comfortable, but profitable. When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians became the new way of life. The people grew so comfortable with their captors, it was almost like the Stockholm Syndrome on a national scale. And all of this led to a rather stunning situation. When God burst in through the doors to rescue captive Israel, Israel wasn't interested in being rescued and didn't want to go. Through Isaiah, God calls, "Get out of Babylon, flee from Chaldea, declare it with a shout of joy." And the people's response? Silence, because they didn't want to leave. Stupid, stubborn, headstrong people. But am I any different? Are you? Do we not have the same response when God calls us to repent and leave sin behind us? It's easy to say we want to be free from this kind of sin or that, but when it comes down to it, we aren't often willing to lift a finger to change our lives, our patterns, our habits. We end up being comfortable enough in our captivity that we really don't want to go through the discomfort of being rescued. It's much the same when God calls us to deny ourselves. It sounds appealing. We would very much like to be free from our own egos and selfishness, to deny ourselves and live for others. But when the call comes, get out of yourself, deny yourself right now for this person in this circumstance, well, we find ourselves to be too much at home in our own comfort, too much at home in living for ourselves. Jesus once saved an adulterous woman from being stoned to death. And after this, he said to her, "Go and sin no more." God forgives us our sins and calls us out of those sins. Get out. Go, sin no more. It should be a no-brainer. But on the other hand, sin does have its benefits. And usually with sin, the primary benefit is the instant gratification it offers. Whereas with God and God's way, it all too often seems that the gratification is rarely instant, if it even comes in this life at all. So why even try to amend your life? That's hard work. Why even bother to fix that relationship? That takes time. Why even try to be a better steward of the things that God has given you? That takes sacrifice. Why even bother with daily prayers? Who needs confession and absolution? Contrary to all of this, sin offers you quick and easy fixes. quick and easy gratification and comfort and protection. Having some kind of problem out there in the world? Just lie. It gets you out of almost everything. Having some kind of problem inside of you? Take your pick of self-medications. Pornography, alcohol, food, more money, more recognition. Afraid of what would happen if your boss finds out, if your spouse finds out? Keep it a secret. What happens in Babylon stays in Babylon. Sin offers us pleasure and security. In exchange, all that it asks is that we be its slaves. It's as if we're thirsty, dying of thirst, and sin is like salt water all around us. Come on, it says, wet your lips, quench your thirst just a little bit, now drink till you're full. Never mind that in the long run, I'll leave you worse than you were before, dehydrated, deluded, and finally dead. God says, don't drink the water. Don't slake your thirst with sin. Don't be a slave to its false comfort and false protection. Don't be a captive in this wretched Babylon. Get out. Go. And the truth is, sometimes we can, sort of, in small ways. Sometimes we can't, not even a little bit. And sometimes we won't. What we need ultimately is someone who will come and get us out. Like St. Paul, we need someone to rescue us from this body of death. We need someone to save us from ourselves. Someone who will pour life-giving water into our sin-parched lips. Someone who will carry us out of Babylon in his arms. And that is why Jesus has come. He has come to do for us what we cannot, what we will not do for ourselves. In fact, that's what he is doing for you right now, present tense. The chains of your sins are truly burst as he says to you, I forgive you. The chains of your habits and addictions and patterns are truly burst when he says, my forgiveness is unconditional and infinite. It is nothing else but Christ's forgiveness that sets you free. And your freedom and truth has only just begun. We have little understanding of this freedom because we have little understanding of grace. Grace that is truly grace. Grace that is unconditional. Grace that is all-encompassing. Grace that is apart from works, apart from worthiness, apart from goodwill and effort and resolutions. Grace that is grace. Grace that is divine, without limits, without rules, without strings, without regard for man-made theological systems. Grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. So blessed are you who mourn in lowly exile, for Christ has come to comfort you. Blessed are you who thirst, for into your parched lips he pours the pure water of his grace. Blessed are you who weep in Babylon, for he has come to lift you up in his arms and carry you home. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good that we battle against sin and daily crucify the old Adam in us. It is good that we learn to deny ourselves and embrace the suffering of Jesus as the pattern of our lives. But in our battle against sin and self-centeredness, let us not forget that it is not up to us to save ourselves. This has already been accomplished when our Lord extended his arms on the cross to embrace us, not as we should be, but as we are, he embraces us. He has saved us through the shedding of his own innocent blood, an atonement made for every last one of your sins and habits and patterns and all the ways that you wish you could change. His blood, the blood of God, has cleansed you from it all. When God says, "Get out, go," heed his voice. But do know that he doesn't stop there. He has sent his Son to go in and get you, to rescue you. Even now, you are safe in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus. And with every passing moment, every passing day, he is carrying you further and further out of this Babylon into the safety of your Father's house and the sweet and blessed freedom of the redeemed family and the openness and wonder of the new heavens and the new earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.